Welcome to the Cashflow Legends Podcast with your hosts, Nate, Brandon, and Brock. Remember, our insights are not direct financial advice, so consult with your financial team before making any decisions based on the topics discussed in this show.
Welcome to Cashflow Legends. We are excited to be here as always. All right, you see a new face, but the face may look familiar, okay? I'm not going to tell you if there's any difference in who you're looking at here other than it is somebody related to Brock. It is Brock's dad, Trent. So we asked Brock if he wanted to be on, Trent, and he said that he was going to let you have the stage yourself. So I think he just thinks he's doing you a favor to be sure that he's not in the way. So you want to outshine him is what I think, really.
Well, I mean, it's funny, you know, when we go to conferences and things like that, Trent is known as Brock's dad.
I almost put that in as my name on the screen today.
Man, we were chatting a little bit before we got started. Everybody, that if this happens to be your first podcast that you're listening to or your first YouTube, if you watched of Cashflow Legends, we always want to emphasize the real value we hope to be bringing, and that is providing you insight on how to keep more of what you earn so you can earn more of what you keep. You've heard us say that before. That comes from Trent. That's where that thought process comes from. He taught it to us. Trent is a mentor of ours. He spent a lot of time pouring into Nate and I and our team, ULC. We spend a lot of time with Trent working with members of ours. And what we really want to do today is just kind of hear Trent's story to encourage people who may just be beginning to understand what this is, and then also see how it's played a huge role in Trent's life as a mentor and what he's passionate about doing nowadays. So, Trent, we're excited to have you. We appreciate your time and your willingness to do this. And I'd love to just start with a little background on who you are, you know, what you're proud of, what you're working on right now, and a little bit of your personal story to get here.
Well, thanks. And first, I'm honored to be here. I've really enjoyed getting to know you too, and seeing the two of you with Brock's been fun to watch. You're doing great on your podcast, by the way.
Thank you.
I've listened to almost all of them, parts of all of them. So I'm going to dive in and finish each one. But background. So I was first trained as an accountant. That's what I went to school. I was playing baseball and in college and was wanting to be a CPA when I graduated and had a phenomenal professor who happened to be my wife's uncle. And I went to Lipscomb University. It was a college then, back in those days. And the name of the business administration building is named after him, the Axel Swain Building of Business Administration. He put out more CPAs in the Southeast in 44 years than any other school that did. So, but I realized pretty quick I didn't like being an accountant, an auditor. I liked being with people. And a friend of mine recruited me into the insurance business, which I just stayed away from in my college days. My father had what appeared to be a bad experience with an agent. And so I had that bad taste in my mouth, and I wanted to avoid insurance people. You know, certainly this couldn't be a good thing. But my friend who saw I didn't like being an accountant said, hey, my dad is the senior agent in the state of Tennessee with Nationwide. We'd like for you to come work with us because, you know, a lot of people, we lived here. So I did. Things were going pretty good. My wife and I bought our first house. We weren't married yet. I was going to move into it. By the way, we've now been married since 1991. This is our 33rd year of being married, but we dated 12 years prior to that. So
wow.
For 12 years. So that's what I'm most proud of. And then our three sons. But bought a first house, bought my first car, first new car, bought my engagement ring, getting ready to really start life off great. And we were rehabbing our house, and after the carpet was put in, I was living there. So I just moved the furniture. I scooted. I didn't pick anything up. I was just pushing it back in place. And the next morning I went to take a shower. I was having some cramps in my back. And all of a sudden I couldn't get up. And the shower was on. I was next to the shower about to come in. I couldn't get in. And soaking wet from sweat, trying to move. I don't know how long it took forever, but I crawled to a phone and called my called my doctor, who was a chiropractor who I'd had in college. He was referred to me by a surgeon, so I didn't have surgery. In fact, the guy that did surgery on Joe Montana. And found out I had two bulging discs. I had to be carried to rehab for therapy for 6 days a week for 6 weeks, 2 hours a day. And the first 3 weeks, I couldn't get up to walk to get to it.
Jeez.
Two bulging discs. So I started my career disabled and bankrupt before we got married.
Wow.
While that happened, I'm sitting on the couch, not able to work, right, at home. Nationwide sales quota is going up, and I'm not. So they're going to have to let me go. Today, you'd probably be protected from that, from, you know, some type of HR program, but that happened. Same friend said, hey, I'm with Guardian Life. You need to come see me. I think you'd still be great at this. Let's do it. And I said, well, now you're talking about life insurance. He said, yeah. I said, you know, I don't like life insurance. I heard that's bad stuff. He said, let me tell you why I want you to come. He said, number one, you just got to learn that it's not, and we'll teach you why that's true. He said, but there's a lot of people your age, and I was 26, 27 at the time. A lot of people your age that feel they're invincible. And I had a cousin who was not my client, but they were pregnant with their first child, had another child in the back seat. Pregnant with their second child, first child's in the backseat by 18 months old, and they get hit by a drunk driver 2 blocks from their house and kills him. And the rest of them survive and were okay. We had just helped him increase his benefits at work like 2 weeks prior to that. And they took great care of him. Now, I can't take responsibility for that other than being involved, but I learned the value of the backside of life insurance, death benefits. So I said, I need to learn how to do this. I was introduced to Nelson Nash, and early on in the like 1990, 91 era, 92, I really started working with Nelson, with families. And probably in the 91, first part of 92, we were doing seminars, hundreds of families. In fact, the current president of the Infant Banking Nelson Nash Institute, Carlos Lara, was working for me at the time in my office. I introduced him to Nelson. And that was a long time ago. Nelson was a genius and helped me understand the value of utilizing the front side, the living benefits of life insurance. And then I was also introduced at that very same time to a system I introduced you to for holistic planning, the LEAP system. I used it and became a trainer as well. And that's kind of changed my life. You asked me something a moment ago, but I want to make sure I was clear on this. What am I excited about today, and why do I do this? I've made a commitment that for as long as I'm able to talk like we are right now, my role is going to be training advisors and how to effectively help as many families as possible create the certainty of generational wealth and how they can live life today without having to take all the risks. If we could deflect the risks that most people have to take in this world and protect for the things that will take wealth away from them and give them more empowerment to help others, then we can be a great force in the battle of good and evil, because we'll be well resourced. And as you guys have said on your podcast, and with me many times, is not necessarily about building a lot of money. What it's about is the behavior that we create, because we have choices and we can work in certainty, and that we can enjoy life because of not having the fears of losing or running out of money. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. It's, you know, great. One of the things that you helped us really open our eyes to is most people are just playing the odds in their financial life. And I remember one of our very first conversations that we had. It's the conversation that caused me and Brandon to go get disability insurance very quickly. It was because you said, what's the probability of you becoming disabled? And I was like, I mean, I have a pretty low-key job. You know, it's probably pretty low. And you said, no, it's 50-50. it's either going to happen to you or it's not, and you're either going to be protected for it or you're not. And that, man, that changed our world.
Yeah. The powerful piece on that, Trent, and I'll bring it back to something you said, a couple of things you said. You know, a lot of times in the world of planning, it's often related to, and I can speak on this confidently because I had a financial advisor, and this is not a knock on financial advisors. We can work to help financial advisors help their members even better when we understand this concept. It's certainty and guarantee, and what role the death benefit really plays in that. And maybe walk us through that journey in your life. You mentioned Nelson really was a genius and showed you how to use the living value of it. And then the LEAP model, I think, does a phenomenal job of showing how it's the heart of everything we do and why. So maybe tie those together. When you say certainty, what are you really meaning? Because you don't hear that word often in the world of financial knowledge.
Yeah. Well, it's got to start with one premise, and the premise that is definitely a certainty is we're all going to live until we don't. I'm probably going to say that twice because that usually just flies over our head. But because we are all live until we don't, when we can get the certainty about what life's going to be about after we're no longer here, and we have a certainty about how we can live all of our life because of what we'll provide back to those we leave behind, and that gives us more freedom today. And what I'm doing there is I'm matching a guaranteed contract, life insurance, with a guaranteed benefit that has to be enforced my whole life for this to work, with a guaranteed event of the end of life. All of the other typical planning, traditional planning, is all based on hope and rate of return, and every piece of it has to work out perfectly for the client to win. And here's what I mean by that. Most financial, I don't mean this derogatory, because I think this is everything in the world operates because somebody had sold someone on an idea or a concept or something better. So every financial salesperson that I've met over the last almost 40 years typically comes in with, I can help you get a higher rate of return, and I can do it for less money. And that's pretty much the end of the conversation. So if that's true, over my lifetime, I have to be healthy enough to work and be able to make those deposits. If I'm not, if I get disabled, too sick or hurt to work, the plan blows up. So I hope I'm healthy enough until retirement to accumulate my money. And I hope I live long enough to receive the money that I saved in this supposed high rate of return. I have to earn money that goes up in value constantly. If I put it in the stock market, I can only hope that I pick the right stocks or mutual funds, because there are no guarantees in those. There's not a guarantee they'll be not only in earnings, but the principal balance would be there. You can do things to reduce that potential risk, but that's one of the risks. That's the biggest risk most people think about, is market volatility. It's probably one of the lowest risks. There's a risk of taxation. Tax rates need to be equal or lower, or I need to be in the highest tax bracket and have a strategy on how not to pay all the taxes. That's legal, obviously. Mm-hmm. I need to be able to live until retirement, and then I need to make sure my assets are insured in a way that I can enjoy all of the other assets I've accumulated while I'm here with those people I love, knowing I'm going to replace them when life's over. That's the death benefit part. If I don't have the death benefit there, my only choice is to live off the income that those assets create. And if I'm withdrawing money from a market that's going down, I may run out of money, or I have to choose to take less, which means live less in the last half of life, when every day Saturday, for all the things I look forward to and put off, if I'm a typical planner. And I don't want to see that happen. I want to be able to one, not ever retire. I love what I do, but I want to be able to help clients do that. I don't want them to build a life they have to retire from. I want them to enjoy the one they got.
You know, our greatest asset is ourselves. It's our ability to create an income. And so this whole idea is centered around you need to invest in yourself before you start looking anywhere else. And the broken mentality when it comes to the thought of insurance in general automatically associates that with a cost. But what we found is that we are not necessarily purchasing a product, but really purchasing peace of mind more than anything else. And that is a complete shift in the thought process behind insurance in general, because most people out there say, get as much insurance for as little as possible, whatever. We say, get as much insurance as you can possibly get and understand what kind of value that's going to bring to your family if things don't work out the way you think they're going to work out. Now, if they do work out the way you hope, you had that peace of mind all along the way, and you still got to enjoy your assets and everything like that. You still prepared yourself in a really powerful way. But if something does happen and we're not able to produce income or something like that, we are not in immediate survival mode, just trying to figure out how we're going to eat. And the powerful thing about some of the strategies that we teach now is the idea of self-completion. And if you're, even if you have a disability insurance policy in place, if your income is reduced to 60 to 70% of what you were previously used to, you're not thinking about, I'm going to go invest in other assets or anything like that. You're still in survival mode. You're having to make massive adjustments. But with whole life insurance and disability waiver premium option available, if you become disabled, now you have a system that continues on and like I said, becomes self-completing. And that's a powerful piece that most people don't understand, because again, if you're not investing in yourself first and you're not doing the best job you can to protect the replacement of your income and just the fulfillment of your income, then that's the first place you got to start before you start looking at other places you can invest.
Trent, what is one of the things? So when we got introduced to you, Trent, close to 2 years ago, we spoke in an event and we got to meet Trent and we met Brock, and that kind of was the first domino that has led into a very exciting and mentor based, but a lot of learning opportunities type relationship. So we spent a lot of time with Trent working with members or people that are considering this process. And that's how we got connected with Brock. You know, with the LEAP model, maybe touch on that a little bit and our process in general, the impactful part that the LEAP model really helps somebody see all the moving pieces and how it's normally not all in one place where you can clearly make decisions that are best for you.
Do you want me to do that by showing the model?
Yeah, if you want to, I think that'd be perfect.
Do I have the ability to do that here? Let's see.
I think so. I hope so. I think, do you have a present button on your end?
Yeah, I do. I got it right here.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect.
Hopefully, there we go.
There you go. Technology for the win.
There we go.
Hey, I'm going to change the view.
Okay.
Oh, wait. Maybe you'll have to change the view. Do you see the view right there on the far right where it says cinema layout? It'll make the screen bigger. Technology.
Is that under present?
It should be above present, right under the screen itself.
On our end, you can see different layouts that you can select from. You may not have the same option. But that's
okay. All right. Good.
I don't have that. So it'll be kind of small, I guess. All right. So the model that I'm showing you is called the LEAP model. So that stands for Lifetime Economic Acceleration Process. And it's 50 years old. It's not new. I'll move it around so we can see all of it as we go here.
you may not be able to read what it says. So I'll tell you what's on it. So my friend Bob Castellani, he created this model for his own use. He was a professional baseball player and an economist. And he wanted to go to work on Wall Street and realized that he needed to be more explanation of how money works in people's lives. And the model itself is broken into three components: protection, savings, and growth. First thing I think of when I see this, by the way, I can't think about money without seeing these boxes now. I've been doing this since 93, and I've used it in my own life and taught others. So I close my eyes and I see the organization of money. You can't put money anywhere other than these 27 drawers or boxes to accumulate or move through. But the premise of the model itself is this top part of protection would be like the moat around the castle. Brandon, you like how I drew the moat way you like for me to do that?
Yep. That's good.
Okay. So that's the moat. The savings and growth components are your castle. And those would be savings accounts on these top six drawers that, you know, you got to ask what is savings. So savings means there is no risk and it's accessible right now. So you're not looking to get a rate of return out of that. You're just wanting to have it safe, maybe emergency fund, opportunity fund. You're parking it. This is a parking lot for funds. Parking lot. The next part of savings is where you try to pick up some benefits, but as you do that, you reduce your liquidity when you try to get tax benefits. So you would have non-deductible IRAs, annuities, possibly cash value life insurance, depending on how you access it. You could have your Roth IRAs and Roth 401ks, maybe 529 plans for college savings and health savings accounts may be there. And then the one everybody knows about is their 401ks, 457s, 403bs, simple plans, SEP plans, any tax qualified account. So when I say you forfeit liquidity, you can't get to that money unless you terminate your employment agreement. You can borrow from it. Let me rephrase that. You can't get to it unless you terminate your employment agreement, or you're 55 or older and you have an in-service withdrawal of liability. Or you can borrow from some of them, not all of them. You can borrow from it, not against it, but you have to pay it back within 5 years. You can't borrow more than $50,000 in most of those plans. You borrow out money that hasn't been taxed. You pay it back with money that has been taxed, and then when you take it out, it gets taxed again. So we want to be real clear about what that is. And then the growth component is where you got the first row is about bonds, and you want income there. The next one will be some type of appreciation. That would be stocks, different types of stocks. It could be preferred stocks, blue chip stocks, mutual fund portfolio, some growth stock mutual funds. And what you're looking for there is, buy low, sell high. You actually defer taxes in these areas too, because you don't, in most of it, because you don't pay taxes until you sell shares, and that would be capital gains. But you could be having to pay taxes. I'll do this in red. Could have to pay taxes, either capital gains when you sell shares or when the portfolio turns over to a mutual fund, because they have to sell shares 90% of the portfolio to be able to continue to grow. That's a rule in the fund. And you may get interest and you may get dividends. So those income components create taxes here in the ongoing side. And those are today's taxes, and these are tomorrow's taxes. And if you put money in any of these drawers that are investment type products, then you likely have fees associated with that for management. So you might have a firm managing money. And anytime I pay a tax to the government, what rate of return does the government pay back to me?
Zero.
So it's safe to say it's 100% loss, but it's actually more than that, because you lose something else. If you pay a tax, then you have lost the ability to put it in the best investment or savings account you already have. So that's something that's fundamental in economics. It's called lost opportunity costs. I don't know if this is where you guys wanted to go. We're getting a little seminar, a little seminar going here. So when we look at this, my job, if I'm talking, let's just say, Brandon, you're my potential client who's interested in talking about this. My job is to find where all the leaks are in your life that are creating, you know, losses. These are planned losses by the big three institutions, Wall Street, banking institution. We would have some interest to other institutions over here on debt. Wall Street, the government, and big corporations. So we have losses there. And then we have things that could take money away from you. We could have liability claims. If you get sued because you hurt somebody in some way, either you hurt them with your car on the golf course, or maybe you hurt them online and something you said and they sued you. You could have health claims. Or you could die early, right? So there's death. This is the life insurance portion. And if you don't have a proper will and trust, then you could lose assets through the estate closure or probate process. And so what my job is, if I'm talking to you, if I don't use any numbers, if I say red is things that go away from you, like liabilities, and green is a plus, that's back to you. My job would be to find wherever there are red items on your model, turn it into green in your life. So I get it back to you. And we would just start with this through the holistic planning. We start with, how do we prevent the losses? How do we uncover and discover where those losses might be? And then how do we bring it back to create real wealth for you? And when we do this, there's one thing that becomes very evident. If I have death benefit that is equal to the size of my castle, what I know then is I take all the pressure off of this money over my lifetime. It doesn't have to be both the legacy and the income. I can optimize my income because I'm guaranteed to replace my asset. If I qualify for this and I have directed funds to the premiums and I have what's called disability waiver premium, let's say I rent a house out and my rent goes into my cash value portion of my life insurance, and I have the words disability waiver premium. If I get disabled, I get to keep the rents now because the insurance company is going to pay my premium. And if the premium's going in and that the policy is built right and aged right, then the dollars that go in are going to also grow by an equal or greater amount than my deposit. So now I have twice the cash flow instead of half the cash flow. Very few people get to see that. So maybe your 10,000 listeners on your podcast got something new there.
Trent, say that again.
That maybe your 10,000 listeners.
Well, that too. The one before that about twice the income.
In this, if we coordinate the decisions and the movement of money within your financial life on the model, if we do this properly, where we can get both the increase of benefits and money supply, and protect you when things go wrong. If I had rents coming to me now and I had matched those rents to go into the equity portion of a cash value life insurance policy, whole life, with the words disability waiver of premium, that's a contractual guarantee for those that qualify that are under age 55, and they qualify from their health portion. If they were to get disabled for 6 months or longer, long-term disability, the insurance company will make their premium payments for them, the amount that they protected in that premium, all the way until one of three things happen. The end of the contract phase, which for disability would be up to normal working age, might be age 60, might be age 65, depends on the company. Till the disability is over, if the disability was over, that could stop, right? What you hope. Or if you become deceased, which means they paid it until the policy was fulfilled. By the way, that's a financial industry exclusive. If your bank offered that to you, there'd be a line around that bank for everybody going to get it.
Yep. One of the questions we ask a lot to anybody we're working with that you shared with us that's really good is, and we always clarify when we're talking to anyone, you know, these are not loaded questions. These are questions taking us on a journey to think about how we think. and to see if there are any red spots that we want to turn to green and knowing how to do that. But one of those questions is if, you know, we live until we don't, or we're able until we're disabled. If you knew that was going to happen tomorrow, you knew we're going to die tomorrow, become disabled tomorrow, how much of your income and for how long would you want it to continue to your loved ones? And as you said yesterday, in 34,000 plus meetings, you've yet to hear somebody say anything other than as much as possible for as long as possible.
Yeah.
But if we let that really sink in, and you did this with us, that's why Nate started the podcast with, we went out immediately and bridged the gap, because we couldn't fathom why we would ever not focus on being sure our ability to create income was protected if we were to lose our ability to work or we were to die. Like, that didn't make sense to us why we would ever do that. We just needed to understand why we wanted as much as possible. And once we saw that and how to do it with the resources we already had, then it was a no-brainer.
When I look at this, I think about the question that you've asked and I've heard you ask, how many, based on how you're operating in your financial life today, how many things have to go right for you to achieve the result that you want in your life? And it's a lot of things. But how many things have to go wrong? It's just one.
Yeah, that's a great question you need to ask yourself wherever you're at in your financial life, is what one thing could blow this up? Just what one thing?
Hey, Trent, will you change your share screen?
Sure. What do you want me to show you?
Just your handsome face.
You're crazy. All right. That's not it. I turned it off.
There it is. Look at you go.
Old dog, new tricks.
There you go. Trent, you mentioned something as you were walking through that great example of the LEAP model. I want to touch on a few key things that you've shared with us and then bring up this holistic thought. So you mentioned Bob Castellone, who developed the LEAP model, Lifetime Economic Acceleration Process, 50 years ago. I had the pleasure of hearing Bob speak a couple of weeks ago. I want to share this story because it was really powerful for me. So we had the privilege of learning about the LEAP model for close to a year now, and we've been really bringing it into our daily conversations. And the holistic piece is helping people with questions, like you've done with us, decide if we want to continue making the decisions we're making and why, because maybe we're doing really well at that, or there's some leaks or some holes or some red, and now we know how to turn it to green. But there was really something that stuck out with me when Bob was speaking. So there's a lot of people in the room, I think 70 or 80 people total there those 2 days. And there were a few people there who had not heard Bob speak before or his message. And I happened to be sitting by one of them. And we kind of struck up a conversation, and I could tell by the look on his face, he was experiencing kind of being brought to the forefront of how I think and how I operate is being challenged, and not in a bad way. He's very successful. It just was really making him ruminate on it, as Nelson would say. So we took a break, and he's outside, and I go stand by him, and we're busy. He goes, you know, I can't wait to go back and listen to the video Bob did that's on YouTube now, back in 1987, which we've listened to and we really enjoy. And it's very powerful. He said, because I'm really interested in seeing what's different than what he's saying today. And I said, I'm going to spoil it for you. Nothing. Not a thing.
Not one
thing. And he said, you mean all the things that he believes are truths that he just spoke on for hours? He said the exact same thing in 1987. I said, yes. I said, go listen to it yourself. But the answer is yes. So what that really proves is the truth of what's really going on. And I want to bring it back to the holistic approach. You know, normally in the modern medicine world, we have a symptom and the symptom gets treated by medicine. We have a problem, we get medicine to treat the problem. Okay, but it's not really holistically what we need to probably look at changing. Maybe how we eat, how much do we walk, what's our background, what's our behavior from that background, who taught us about how to think that way. what that LEAP model does that you just walked through is it really is a much more deep discussion on who we really are and who we want to be and the real realm that money plays in just making that happen or not. And that holistic piece has to occur to see all those decisions we made all on one piece of paper, so to speak, or one model, to then decide what we want to do from there. So you've been in 34,000 plus of these. Tell me some key takeaways that you see all the time in anybody's conversation, no matter if it's somebody uber successful or somebody just getting started on wanting to control how their money flows through their life.
Well, one, we have to start from a place where it's a question that I helped develop some, I don't know, 35, 36 years ago. It was, if what you knew to be true turned out not to be, when would you want to know about it? Now, if you hear me ask you that question, you really, there's an automatic answer. It's probably, well, right now. But the real reason for me asking that question is not to get that answer. It's to say, you know, maybe there's something that I'm holding that's true that I need to discover if it is or not. So, and here's an example. So with every conversation we have, you mentioned this is like what doctors do. They prescribe to treat a symptom. I'm going to do this in the form of a story, okay? And sort of a true story. I'm embellishing just a little bit. But let's say that, Nate, you're my patient. I'm your physical doctor for your health. And we're friends, and I've known you for a long time. And you come into my office because you're just, you know, you're feeling run down. You don't feel great. And we do some tests and we do some x-rays. Do an MRI. Now, after about an hour and a half to 3 hours, something like that, of all these tests, in my office as the physician, I determine, I see from my experience, I see that you've got a financial, I mean, you have a physical tumor. Physical tumor. Now, you're my friend, and I know this is going to be a hard discussion. If I, the doctor, don't tell you about that, and I say, hey, here's some medication, here, just get more vitamin D, come back, see me in about 6 weeks, go have fun, and I don't tell you, and then 6 weeks later, you pass away, or 5 weeks later, and now I'm coming to see your family at your funeral, and my staff is in front of me, and my nurse says to your surviving wife, hey, did this have anything to do with the tumor? How will her wife feel about me, who's been friends for a long time? There would be some anger, might be a lawsuit. Right. But here, as the physician, if I didn't tell them, I've done a couple of things. Number one, you know, I dishonored my oath of saving people's lives. The other thing that I did by not telling them is I took every opportunity to have choices of how to treat this or not treat this away from the person because we didn't let them know what's available to them. The responsibility that we bring to the table in conversing with your clients is we are like that physical doctor, but we're the financial doctor. And what I love about the model that I just showed you is we discover those financial tumors that literally can cost people a lot of pain if they're not aware of what is ahead of them. And if we don't give them options to fully protect and utilize and create what we call the velocity of money multiplier effect, they will never have the choice to make the decisions to optimize their life. They will always be a statistic. They will always be in the averages. They will always plan to the minimums, required minimum distributions, least cost, least benefit. When we operate through the model, what I've learned is people change their thinking immediately to, I want to live as much life as I can. I want to protect as much as I can. I want to take as little risk as I can. If things do go wrong, I want the most benefit as possible. And if someone knows that that is their choice, that they can do it. And then furthermore, if they can do it with no additional risk and possibly no additional expense to their lifestyle, the question has to become, how soon would you want it? But now they're in charge. They're in control. They have options. And they're open to learning what is the truth versus opinions. You can literally, through the model, test financial truth for that specific person. And everybody needs something different in their life. And we have no idea what people are going to need into the future, because we don't know how they're going to care for their money. We don't know the interruptions of life. We don't know the things that are come in. So what the best we can do is to protect at the optimum levels, because you can't do better than that. Then when things go wrong, your plan will still work as if it never happened. Another thing that would occur, Another thing that would occur is when things go right, you don't transfer 80% of your wealth away in dollars to institutions because you weren't aware that that's what's going to happen when you play the game the way they teach you to play it. Your financial institutions, they don't teach you how to win as a consumer. They teach you how to stay in the game for life. Did I answer your question?
You 100% did. And that point about financial institutions there at the end, every conversation we get to have is really just about discovery of where someone is at this point, and where they are is always going to be their best thinking. Just like the conversation Nate and I have had with Trent in our own personal lives, that was where we were in our thinking at that point. And what we love doing, and I steal this from Trent too, why we feel like we have the best job in the world, is because we're not telling anybody what to do. We are going on an adventure and an excursion to go, hey, here's where you're at right now. How do you feel about that? Do you understand how that works? No, I don't. Would you mind sharing that with me? Okay, here's how it works. How do you feel about that? And most of the time, 99.9% of the time, people are like, oh, so I can be in control, can create more certainty, can have more peace of mind, can be protected when the worst case scenario happens, and still be working towards living the purpose-filled life I'm supposed to live. Because what is very obvious in our 6 years of Nate not doing this, and our last 1.5 or 2 with you, is that everybody feels called to be more than they currently are, or be a better version of it. They're just trying to figure out, how does the money allow them to do that? And they can't figure it out by the rules of the game that they've been playing, because it goes back to what you just said. It's meant to keep you in the game, not have a clear way to win the game.
Yeah.
And that's the part that makes it fun, is to see people's eyes light up and go, you mean I can keep doing the same thing I'm doing, or using the same energy I'm using, and reposition some things, some thought processes, some behavior, and be so much better off, where I'm going to start winning. Now they're in the driver's seat and they're taking action, and they can't wait to take action, which is much different than being told what to do.
There's a
whole another ball game.
There's a story, an analogy that has kind of come out of our work together, that I like to share with people. In 2016, the most recent Super Bowl champion, Patrick Mahomes, was the quarterback for Texas Tech. And they were playing OU. And in that game, Patrick Mahomes put up 734 yards passing, college football record, threw for 5 touchdowns. And if you just hear that, you would think, man, they blew the doors off of Oklahoma in that game. But on the other side of the field, there was a quarterback named Baker Mayfield who threw for 7 touchdowns in that game. And so if you put up 70 points and life puts up 71, you still lost. And that is the value and the importance of making sure that we are playing good defense to give our offense better opportunities, and reducing the probability of failure so that we have that certainty built in that we've created for ourselves, where we are creating a game that we just get to go win.
That's a game. That's very good. It's a game that you can win first, then go play.
That's good. Yep. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm pretty competitive. If you can tell me I can win guaranteed and go play it too, that sounds like a pretty good opportunity to me.
All right. So something just popped in my head from way back in the day, Nintendo, Contra.
Yep.
There was a cheat code on Contra that you could do where you got unlimited lives. And once you knew that cheat code, you weren't going to play without it.
Yep. Yep. Well, I'll connect to your idea there. The cheat code also came from something at some point called a game genie.
Yeah.
And a game genie just went around the game you were playing and allowed you to understand how to get access to all these things that most of us were not afforded that didn't have a game genie. You know, so I think about whole life in that way. Once we understand what whole life really is, we go from thinking we don't need it to wanting as much of it as we can possibly get because of the guarantees it creates. And that's a whole different ballgame. And it's a game genie, you know, in a lot of ways of life if you know how to use it and you know the codes and you know the financial physics and moving pieces, like Trent just walked through on the LEAP model, which helps really show that, helps people get comfortable with that.
I call that the financial physics.
Yep.
We need to know, you know, when you make a financial decision, what's the total outcome of that decision? It's not just the rate of returns, not just the increase in wealth. There's other costs associated to it, and there's things that could stop it from happening. In the opposite of your point for a moment, you know, with the cheat code, you had unlimited lives. Mm-hmm. You only get one shot at this one.
Yep.
And so, and you don't get to redo things once you're disabled if you didn't do it right. And once you die, you don't get to go back and start over and say, well, I wish I would have done it better the first time. Mm-hmm. And so for those people that may become your client or walk through this process, playing the game under the typical scenario or on your own, even, you know, I tell you guys that when and your clients, when we're in this meeting, that the day that we meet your client with all the financial info is the day that we see the summary, the summation of all the best thinking they've had to that point, no matter who their advisors are. Mm-hmm. Right. But most people are really, if you equate it to a game board, they're just like Monopoly. They're just going around the board collecting their $200 trying to stay out of jail. Mm-hmm. And they don't really know how to buy the properties and get the rent and to win the game. And then the other thing, the great story about the Monopoly game is at the end, all the pieces got to go back in the box. Mm. And we need to make sure that winning life is not about who stacks up the most bills. Winning life is about what do you do with the bills that you are a steward over while you are here. What's that purpose behind what we're doing? Mm. So something I would encourage you and your listeners to do is Nelson talked about the arrival syndrome. You want to make sure you never have the arrival syndrome, but you're always learning. Mm-hmm. And I'm convinced after 36 years of being somewhat successful in this, I also screwed it up and learned to be successful by doing things great and following the rules of the game this way. And it proved to me again how great all of this information is when you use it. And what I would learn through that process is everybody has what they have because of the limitation of what they know. Hmm. So if we could expand their wisdom of how to use it, I don't have to tell you or your client everything I know about this. I know a lot about this. I've been doing this a long time. What's important is what's the next thing that makes your life better that we could do right now? And then when we do that, what's the next thing that we can do to make that better? And then tie them all together because one strategy opens up the door to two or three, whatever the next one is. But what we also know is if you don't care for your money while you're working, if you don't love your money, not love of money, but if you don't love your money, there is absolutely zero chance it's going to take care of you when your money has to be the one providing everything for you and your family. Mm-hmm. The environments you put it in, you expose it to, are extremely important. It's more like science than it is a commodity. Mm-hmm. And so we need to bring together the art and the science of that conversation. And the truth is, even me and a lot of other people that have been training this system for, 35 years or 92, however long that is for me, there's still only a small amount of advisors in the whole U.S. that know how to do this. So it takes people like you who will invest in themselves to go learn a better way for their clients and then to live through what you've learned, not to just spout off some great ideas to sell product and make commissions. The best thing I love about this is if you guys are the agents, and when you go through this process, the only way you win, the only way you get paid is by proving to a consumer that you're adding significant value to their life. And it's just a small percentage over their lifetime of what they're going to gain. I jokingly say in a lot of the meetings, it's not really a joke, but it feels like one. I say many times, you've heard me say this, if we make your client, if we add $1 million to your life over your working life, do you have any objections to you guys getting paid $1 million from those institutions you refer them to, especially if it doesn't come out of their pocket? I mean, you know, you got people that say, make me two, you know, make me five, you know?
Yep.
When it's a win-win game, it has to be proven up front. When you do that, everybody's better off. And it eliminates opinion and sales hype, and you get to walk into the truth.
That's great, Trent. We really appreciate your insight, all your experience. I'm sure there'll be many more opportunities to bring you back on, because we could drill down into, you know, topics and thought processes that I know for a fact you could spend hours and hours on talking about one point of one thing. But just the overall view of the value of knowing why the decisions we're making are benefiting us or potentially taking away from what we want to create, and helping people see how to do that from somebody who's done it for a long time and been successful. But here's something I share about you often to people, is that a big part of why your purpose is pouring into guys like Nate and I is because you're willing to share where you screwed up. And not everybody likes to do that. So it's kind of become a saying of mine. They go, how do you figure out who to work with? I say the first key that I know for sure through failure also is if somebody only tells you the good stuff about them all the time, run. Run. Because that's just not the way life works. There's going to be failures. There's going to be unplanned devastations that we get ourselves into that we have to learn and grow from, which is a big reason why you pour so much into guys like Nate and I. It's a part of your purpose, which is also why you said you don't ever see yourself retiring as long as you can do this. Yeah. So, Trent, we really appreciate your time today. Thank you for being here with us. Everybody watching, remember, hit those like, subscribe buttons. You can email us at cashflowlegends@z. Our landing page is almost ready. That'll make it where it's way easier to get in contact with us. You don't even have to do the old school email. You can just go on, check out what we're about, and you can access us that way to reach out. But we appreciate everybody joining us today, and we'll catch you on the next one.